Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Oh, bless his holy name. This is Pastor Ola Starling with the Anointed Word International Ministries. Thank God, praise God once again for being here. Thank God for life and strength. Thank God, praise God for just allowing us to see another day. Because without God, we are nothing. And it is good to have him on your side. Remember, praise God, that you know what? If it had not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be here today? Where would we be today? But it's because of his goodness, his grace, and his mercies. I want to thank you, praise God, for being allowed me to come into you, praise God, into your home, praise God, into your place and your space, wherever you may be at this moment. I want to give God the praise, the glory, and the honor for allowing me, praise God, to use me as a voice. I'm only a voice, praise God. I'm just one, praise God, that will cry, that are crying in the wilderness. Praise the Lord. It's not, praise God, of the title. It's just that God has allowed me, praise God, to bring the word to those that will listen. Praise God, I'm just like, praise God, I'm just like John. I'm a John the Baptist. That will go forth, praise God, crying, praise God, in the wilderness. Letting you know, praise God, there is one coming after me that was before me, whose shoelaces I'm not worthy to unloose. Praise God. And I pray that upon the sound of my voice that someone is unsaved, that, praise God, if they're unsaved, they will realize that it's Christ that they need in their life. And they need, praise God, a resurrection. They need a new life. Praise God, that they may be able to stand before him in the judgment and that he will be able to say, come hither, my child. Come higher, for you have been ruler of a few things. It is just God's goodness, praise God. But I want you to know, praise God, he cares about you. He cares about you. He cares so much that he died for you to give you a place in eternity. Amen. Amen and amen again. But tonight, praise God, I want to come to you, praise God, with the word of God and to, praise God, bring it to you, praise God, as he gives it to me. I will bring it to you and let you know, praise God, that without God, you are nothing. Just remember that. Doesn't matter where you come from, who you are, and who you think you are. Without God, you are nothing. But tonight, praise God, we're going to be coming to you tonight in the way of Revelation, and Revelation 3, 1 through 6. Praise God. Revelation. In the book of Revelation, we're going to be coming to you. 3, 1 through 6. And tonight, praise God, I just want to come pray, just giving you just a little scenario to look at, praise God, and to hear. And to just kind of, praise God, picture, get a picture in your mind what I'm about to talk about. And tonight I want to talk to you about, you know, when something, praise God, anytime, praise God, there's a body that is taken in of any sort, of any kind, there's an autopsy on that dead body. Yes, an autopsy. And the autopsy really tells you the reason and why that thing that expired, why it expired, and what, praise God, caused it to expire, and examine. They do it as an examine. It's called an autopsy. But you can only do an autopsy on something that is dead. Amen. But tonight, I want to talk to you. If I had to give you a thought, it would be an autopsy of a dead church. Autopsy of a dead church. And I'm just imagining, praise God, as I'm talking to you now, imagining, praise God, that, you know, someone is crawling and they're scorned and they're near death, praise God. And they're crawling across a hot desert and you're dying and you're thirsty and you're close to perishing. But ahead you see some type of a sign that gives you, praise God, a warning that there is cool, clear, life-giving water. Only 5 miles ahead of where you're trying to get. So you see this, praise God, because at the moment you're in delusion because you're crawling and you're scarred, you know, you're scorching and you're near death. And right now when you see something about a water hole or some water there's water in the oasis, praise God, you get hope. But this sign, praise the Lord, gives you some renewed energy, and it gives you renewed energy and new hope and continue your torment and crawling across that parched sand. And as you arrive, praise God, to this place that was promised, praise God, that was place that you saw, that you said, cool, clear, life-giving water, only 5 miles ahead. And you see this magnificent building in red, and it's beautiful, and the signs outside invite you in, and you beckon on, and you're in the, you know, you're with the promise of finding that living water, that life-giving water. So you crawl through this entrance into a glorious building, and there in this building before you is a promised well. And with the bucket, you see it, my God, I saw it. You said it, I saw this sign, and now it's right up on me because I see this cool, clear, life-giving water, only 5 miles. I'm here now, and I'm actually here now, and you see this bucket ready to be let down and filled with water to quench that parching tongue and to quench your thirst and to pour life back into that body because it is about to collapse. With this last bite of your strength, you get to this well and you lure this bucket into this well and expecting a splash. As the bucket hits the water, you're waiting to hear this because that's what you need to hear because you've gotten there now. You was at, before you was away from it, but now it's upon you and you're right at it. And so now you're listening for this bucket to hit this water copper. Splash! You're waiting. But it never comes. There's only sounds in the way of a dull thump, the thump of a bucket hitting the bottom. And you hear this, you're like, what? What is this? Because I'm supposed to be able now to pull up this bucket of water because it was stated that it's here and I'm at this well now. But all I can hear is the bucket hitting the bottom of the well. You think that perhaps you are just, you're hilarious. You're just having delusions. And so you reel this bucket up only to find out it's only full of dust. Dust that cannot quench your thirst, but dust can only deepen the thirst and destroys all the hope in you. Ah, Jesus, help us, Lord. And it sounds far-fetched, but this is the experience of many of us, praise God. Many of us, praise God, that go to the house of God expecting to be filled and fed with the water and the bread of life and only to find all the trappings and the rituals, but no help or hope. For all those who have made it their way there. Such, praise God, is a condition, praise God, of the churches that is here in America right today, hallelujah, concerning today the churches, praise God, are dry and they're dull and they're full of dust with no life. Yes, Jesus. And the churches in America has taken on this character of in different cities and all around the world. Which they reside. A little bit just telling you, praise God, just showing you, praise God, what is happening, praise God, to the churches in America, the churches of today, because what is happening, the people are sitting, but they are dying because there is no life in the word, in the message, in the place called the church. That church needs an autopsy. Ah, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, come now. And while, praise God, we are talking about this, at one time, praise God, the churches in America had been one of the greatest cities in the world. Churches in America had been one of the greatest things in America were the churches and how you could see the move of God and how you could hear the word being preached, praise God, in the fullness thereof. It was not watered down gospel. It was not gospel that you like, but it was gospel to check your spirit. Yes. Hey, day, God. Yikabasida. But you see, praise God, we're finding it today, praise God, around the world. Churches now is all about the wealth, praise God. And part of the word is still common, praise God, that we hear, praise God, as the wealth, praise God, the wealth, the wealth, the wealth, the money, the money, the money. But there is no life in the word. There is no life being taught. There is no water of life in there that you can drink. So you're sitting there and you are dying in the church. Now, here's the Bible saying, watch. Sit ye here and die. Why sit here and die? During the time, praise God, of our time when the Romans came, praise God, to Sardis. Sardis, there was still wealth and power. There was a powerful city. America, yes. If America, let's say America, praise God, was still a wonderful and a powerful city. But it was just a shell, hallelujah. Just a shell of its former self. Yes, Saudi was just a shell of what it has been. America is just a shell of what it had been. The people had grown, they were growing, they was lazy and degenerated and moral and complacent, and America was just dying, praise God, through apathy, through sympathy and indifference. The America, praise God, was proud as it was passed. It was proud of its reputation. But the reputation was all it had left, praise God. But now that has been taken away, praise God. We no longer preach the true word of God. We only preach, praise God, words, praise God, to make people shout. But it's, praise God, it's time to preach the word of God that will let people know that your soul is in ruin and that you need to seek the Lord daily, that you may know, praise God, that Jesus Christ is only coming back for those that he know and that is his. But it was our reputation, praise God, for all its intent and purposes. America was dead and is still dead. Even while it lived, it was still dead. Apparently, praise God, America, praise God, the churches of America has adopted an atmosphere, praise God. In their time, the church has become a thermometer that registered the temperature only, praise God, of the city instead of a thermostat. That, praise God, that changed the temperature of, praise God, the city in America. America, it is to this church that has become lazy. You have become lazy. You have become displaced that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he come, he's going to appoint the portion. Because, praise God, the church has become a business just as sure, praise God, as he did in Sardis. They was dying, and so is the churches in America, cities in right now in America. Jesus has no word, no comment, praise God, for them, but he does have, praise God, some words of counsel. I would like for us, praise God, not just go, praise God. Let's look at, praise God, why the churches are dying. Why they are dying, praise God. Why they are not filled. Why, praise God, the churches are falling apart. Why? Why, praise God? Because simply, praise the Lord, the Lord is saying to us, we have gotten away from the gospel. Let me just remind you, praise God, that, praise God, what these things practically, these are three things I want to talk to practically. These things, God, are the things, praise God, that the churches was made up on. The church was made up on real letters that was written to the real churches. And this was the real issue, praise God, in Revelation, you know, and prophetically. These are the letters and the pictures of the churches that was various stages of the church history. The particular churches pictured that period between, praise God, now, praise God, and they may say the rapture, but I say because the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, praise the Lord. But what we're saying here today is that we are, praise God, we have become, praise God, discomplacent. We are no longer, praise God, that church of Acts, praise God, that Jesus Christ was able to sit. He was all able to sit, praise God, on one accord and be there and not was moved until the Holy Ghost came. But these, praise God, our churches of today. And this is what has happened. It is an autopsy of a dead church. The church has become dead. The church is dead. The greatest, praise God, physician has pronounced. It has a pronouncement. It claims, praise God, and it comes proclaiming his deity. This is what the churches should be proclaiming today in the churches of this world, is the deity of Jesus coming, praise God, and one who has the seven spirits of God and one who is holding the seven stars of God. And the seven spirits of God refers to the Holy Spirit in his fullness and the ministry. But the sevenfold ministry of the Spirit is defined in Isaiah 11 and 2. And in his hand is the Pentecost, praise God, of the Holy Spirit. This is the reminder of the church's, praise God, that we are to operate not under the power of human skills or leadership or organization, but under the awesome power of the Spirit. And when the church wakes up, praise God, and walk in the power, praise God, when the churches are walking in the power of the flesh, we will surely fall. But, praise God, when we walk in the power of the Spirit, there will be success, and there will be glory, and there will be the power, and there will be life, instead of deadness, instead of, praise God, ineffectualness. Right now, praise God, we have, praise God, no affectionness in the Word of God, because we have come discomplexed. We have come, praise God, like the world, and the church is having, the church is in need of an autopsy. And when the human spirit, praise God, is in control of the human body, amazing things can accomplish. For instance, praise God, if you was at a piano and you sit down at a keyboard and perform thousands of just delicate and precise movements, that would produce a beautiful music. However, my friend, let that, praise God, that same pianist suffer some injury that leaves the arm paralyzed, and the mind is no longer in control of that arm and the hand and the fingers. Then try at that might. This human spirit cannot and will not, praise God, be able to operate, because guess what? So too, when the Spirit of God is not in control, praise God, of our members, of our mind, the churches, praise God, the great things can be accomplished. However, when it is not, praise God, it becomes paralyzed in the results, and nothing can accomplish for God. It cannot be accomplished for God. The seven stars are the pastors of the churches in Revelation 1 and 20. They are the messengers who bring the people to the Word of God. Not your garbage, my friend. Not preaching, praise God, things to make people shout. Not think preaching, praise God, to make people yell. But it's preaching the Word of God, that it may fall on good soil, that it may take root and grow. Praise the Lord. And Jesus appeared, praise God, as one who was everything in the church needed to be, and that was success. His Spirit, praise God, has all the power to church. Churches need in the Word, all the direction is the churches need. Jesus seemed to be saying to us today, if you will submit to me, if you will find me in all need to accomplish my mission in this world, I want to let you know something. This is the message of the modern church needs today, because men are trying every method under the sun of God to reach sinners and to do the work of the church. But all of yes, Jesus. But all the power we need is found in the fullness of the Holy Ghost and in the Word of God. And what we need is a new method, but a new desire to seek the fullness of the Holy Ghost and do everything, praise God. Not praise God on our way, not the way we want to do it, but do it the way the Word of God has left for us to do it. And if we would, praise God, follow the Holy Spirit and do everything according to the teaching of the Word of God, that will be, praise God, souls crying out. Many, praise God, of our churches today, we're calling it revival, but nobody's getting saved. There are no sinners in the church. Everybody's saved. We're calling it revival. Revival for what? But praise God, they said, he come, praise God, proclaiming his discernment. Jesus tell them, I know thy works. He know the works, praise God, that is going on in the synagogues in America today. He comes as one who sees it all and knows it all. He doesn't know, praise God, he does not condemn their work, and he does not condemn their work anyway, but merely tells them that he knows everything they are doing. He knows everything we are doing too. He sees it all along in the motives. What is your motive behind what you do? Ah, Jesus, the motives that drives us to what we do. In Hebrews 4:12 and 13 and Psalms 139 and 2, he sees us as a whole, and he sees the individual as well. He knows your heart, my friend. He knows everything that you do, and he knows why you do it. That is what God, that is a sobering thought. He comes proclaiming his diagnosis. Apparently, the works he gave them. He gave them, praise God, the appearance of life. And Jesus tells them that they have what had that reputation. They are a busy church. They were a busy church, my friend. in a working church with a great reputation among men. From all outer appearance, this church was everything a church ought to be. You see it, praise God. We got some church that look like me coming in the million. Look like one man can preach and save trillions. But I want to let you know, they believed the right thing, and they was busy too good all over the community. Everyone saw them, looked at them, and said, that church is on fire. But I am assured, praise God, that when people move to that Sardis, from other towns, and their pastor suggested that they visit this church, it all had the appearance of life, but things were not as they seem. That's why I say, praise God, you look at these church ministries, you look at TV ministries, you see them coming, they coming in thousands, people sitting in the millions, but I want to let you know, it's not like it seemed. The great physician placed his finger on the pulse of the church. You better listen to me. He said he put his finger on the pulse of the church and pronounced them dead, no matter, praise God, what others thought. Jesus knew the truth, praise God. He knew, praise God, it was just a show, regardless of what others may thought about this church. But Jesus knew the truth. He tells them that even though everyone thinks they are alive, they think, praise God, like they got it together. They think, praise God, like, praise God, in fact, that, praise God, they're dead. The word means just what it says, like it's a dead man. The church of Sardis was a destitute, a force of power. They was ineffective, and they was inoperative. They were dead. Uh-huh. They were active, but it was not spiritual in nature. They were busyness. They was busybodies. They were doing and bringing nothing eternal, oh my God, and bringing nothing eternal to the past. They were preaching, but lies. Hey, God, they were preaching, praise God. It seemed like, praise God, they was on fire. But the preaching, but the lies were not being changed. And the sinners was not being saved. Come on, talk to me, Jesus. And the sinners were not being saved. They were busy, but they were not operating in the energy of the, they was only doing in the energy of the flesh and not in the energy of the Spirit of God. Talk to me, Jesus. And everyone looked at them and spoke of them in their life. But Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus, he Jacobosa, the one who knew them better than anyone, looked at them and pronounced them dead. The church needed an autopsy. Come on, Jesus. Look, praise God, as we looked and they were deceiving. These flowers on the table, you may see, praise God. Sometimes you see somebody look in the appearance of it is life. They are beautiful and they are filled with colors and their fragrance, praise God. And they, but they are dead. They had been, praise God, served from the root. They had given them life. It won't be many days until their colors fade, their bloom they wither, and their leaves they fall off and turn brown, and they were taken and thrown away. They looked at alive, but they were dead. You see, praise God, all this you see, praise God, it looks like it's alive, but they are dead. They need an autopsy. The same can be said, praise God, about any animal in the museum. Them, they look very like life. They stand, they look like they're real. They place the nature, the habitation, but they are dead. The world is filled with similar fakes. Hey, God, fabulous fakes in the church today. Hallelujah. Things look sick and flowers, and the flowers look waxing old and fruitful, praise God, but they are dead. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the Lord was saying, praise God, just like anything, praise God, it looks like it's alive, but it is dead. Many, many churches, praise God, are in that same shape today. They're in the same shape today, my friend. They have all the appearance of life, but the great physician who has his finger on their pulse, oh, Jesus, he had the finger on the pulse. They know they, praise God, he know they are dead. Folks, they are dead people. His fingers on the pulse of the churches of today. Does he feel a pulse? Is it stronger? Is it steady? Is it weak? Is it failing? What does he know about the churches that we may know today? Jesus, help us, God. Help us, help us, help us, Lord. Here are some of the signs, praise God, that we see in the church. We see the churches are dying. They're dead. They are dead. A dying church rests on its past accomplishments and is satisfied with its present state. A dying church is more concerned about their rituals and their formalities than about spiritual in God's way. A dying church is more concerned about social change than they are about seeing people change their lives through the power of God. The church is dead. The church is dead. It needs an autopsy. Yes, a dying church is more concerned about material growth than it is with spiritual growth. A dying church is more concerned with pleasing man than pleasing God. A dying church is clinging more tightly to his creed and his confession than it is to the word of God. A dying church is one that loses its conviction that the Bible is the word of God and it should be preaching the fullness thereof. Those are some of the things, praise God, a dying church represents. All living things are characterized by growth. All living things are characterized by growth, my friend. Yes, it is characterized by growth. As long as you see, as long as you and I live in the body, we are maturing, we are changing, we are growing. When the growth stops, it means we are dead. The church is no exception, my friend. When people think of growth in the church, they immediately think of the numbers in the growth. I think that is part of it, my friend. Don't get me wrong. But the primary way a church demonstrates life is through the spiritual growth and the word that is being preached and taught, and people are growing. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. We praise God. Some of us praise God. We come to church, and some of us in the same condition we was in before we left the church. We come in the same way, go out the same way. Mm-hmm. A church that is alive will continue to develop spirituality and spiritual growth. When a church ceases to grow spiritually, it is degenerating and dying. You preach to the same people every Sunday. The same ones every Sunday. You pray for the same people every Sunday. When a physical body develops a problem, it is called disharmony in the body. Cancer is a good example for this. Some of his cells become infected by the cancer, and they attract the cells in the body. If this is left unchecked, my friend, hey, Jesus, the results will be degenerating and death of that body. The same is true in our churches today. When a church is alive and well, there will be unity, harmony in the fellowship. There would also, when there isn't, the body is diseased and it is headed for trouble. Unless the infection part come back into harmony with the church, becomes what? Infractured. It is headed for disaster and death. The church is in need of an autopsy. It is dead. Yes, ah, God, yes, Jesus, our glory, because, praise God, another, praise God, way of looking at physical realm is emotion. Because I am alive, I can laugh, I can cry, I can feel, I can enjoy, I have emotion. They demonstrate the fact that I am alive. When a physical body dies, one of these clearest indications is total lack of emotion. Ah, Jesus, the deceased person does not show one sign of emotion. They can't because they are dead. The church is dead. Again, I say, the same is true to the church. A living church is an emotional church. There will be times when they will laugh together, weep together, shout together, sing together, hurt together, pray together. In other words, when there is life, there is emotion. Physical bodies our bodies in emotion. One sure sign of death is the absence of emotion. Praise God. So it is written in the church. When there is no life in a church, there will be no emotion. The church will be active and should be active in the word, doing the work of the Lord. Jesus. So how do we measure this? What do we do, God? The physician, the great physician prescription of the church in Sardis is a sad sick. But not all is lost. It appears that there is still hope to make them some changes and get back where they need to be before they end up in, praise God, the mortuary, and there would have to be an autopsy, and it would be a reason why the church did not grow and why they did not make it, because the church will be dead They are commanded. We are commanded to watch. They are told to be watchful. Literally, this means they are to good, are to what? Chaste sleep. The church is a church with a glorious path. And they have allowed their past success to lure them into a state of complacency and spiritual slumber. Jesus, help us, God. Oh, God, a spiritual slumber. Jesus called upon them to chase away. His command for the church is to wake up and realize that the victory of yesterday are not so sufficient for this day. Jesus. But the people of Sardis would have understood exactly what Jesus was talking about. As I mentioned earlier, Sardis was located, praise God, up on a high mountain. It had its own entrance on the south side, which was the only way you could get into the city in one old day. Therefore, all the Sardis had to do was to put a detail at the one place to watch the city. But on two occasions, they had been invaded. Your church is asleep, and God has his pulse on the church. They are told, praise God. I'm going to say this, praise God, I have to get ready to go. The Lord gives his church four activities they are to be busily engaged in. And these things will help any church in America that is caught napping on Jesus. You better hear me good. That's napping on Jesus. Revive. The strength that things which remain. He tells them that not everything about them has died. But there are still some things that has a spark of life in them. And these things, praise God, are to revive before they die out. The phase is this, praise God, they are ready to die. Literally means that death is knocking at your door. This is a call for them to get stirred up again, for the things of God is to be called to revival. He said, I have found thy works perfect before me, say God. This means that their works are incomplete and do not reach heaven. They have some things in their midst that are good, but there are works that need to be revived because they will not make an eternal difference. They're singing, they're praying, they're preaching, they're giving. They're dancing, but their works was not reaching heaven. Are you listening to me? All of these things the Church of America is doing with your works are not reaching heaven. They was accomplishing nothing of eternal value. Hear me again. What you're doing is not. It's not doing anything that is eternal value. They were dead people doing dead works. Oh God, Jesus, Lord, I thank you, Jesus. It is impossible to be in the things of God and yet to be doing nothing for God. Unless your works are complete, they will never reach heaven, and they will be no glory for God in the church. What church is like, this need is to be stirred up by the Spirit of God into new life and activities for the glory of God. Remember, my friend, remember, therefore, thou hast received and heard. These people are counseled to remember where the Lord brought them from. What I'm saying to you tonight, that you must remember where God has brought you from and what he has done for you. And they are to remember the days when they were serving the Lord out of a glad heart and wanted more than anything to do his will. It had nothing to do with your praying, your preaching, your dancing. Praise God, your giving. It is good. This is God's work. This is heaven kingdom work. They were to be remembered what it was like to walk, hey Jesus, in the power of God with the fire of his glory burning in, and he uses them for his glory. Remember, memory can be a bad thing, especially, Jesus help me, when someone calls us to live in the past and rest on the past glory. However, if memory wakes us up and causes us to be resurrected in this present, then memory serves a great purpose. If we are to remember things and anything, let us remember the God who makes the churches great for his glory, and let's seek him once again. restore it back and hold fast. The church that needs an autopsy. But God has his finger on the pulse. You be blessed. And remember, the Lord loves us, but we must get back to doing what God has called us to do in the Holy Ghost. You be blessed. You be blessed. Praise the Lord.